Good morning. After Easter dinner at my house on Sunday, my daughter, who goes to the university in town, told me about a text message she had gotten that day. The message came from a person she knew at school. It was rather brief. It did not amuse her, nor did it amuse me. It said, "Happy Jesus Zombie Day." Now, zombies, you know, are fictitious, half-dead persons risen from the grave, not really alive. "Happy Jesus Zombie Day." Her reply to that was, "He is risen indeed. Jesus is not a zombie. Why are you my friend?" I think that last part was tongue-in-cheek. I believe these two people are friends. One doesn't sound like a believer, though. Now, I bring up that recent exchange to illustrate the point that there is a prevailing attitude with many people today, not just in America. That attitude is this: the resurrection of the dead does not happen. Not for anyone, including Jesus. If you go to a public university, don't be surprised if that's the feeling of the majority of the students and practically all of the professors there. One of our CLC pastors, a number of years ago, attended the University of Wisconsin pursuing a degree in Hebrew. During one of the classes, they were talking about the Job passage, "I know that my Redeemer lives." The professor and the students came to the conclusion that this passage could not be referring to an actual physical resurrection from the dead. Now, that CLC pastor, a student at the time, tried to defend the meaning that, yes, it did refer to physical resurrection from the dead, to which it was thrown back in his face, "You don't really believe that, do you?" Unbelievers around the world and down through the ages have held on to the assumption that the dead do not rise, cannot rise, will not rise, they say. When you're dead, it's over. That's it. Now, that mentality is not just an unbeliever's problem. It can infiltrate a Christian group. It did, in fact, infiltrate the church at Corinth, and was one reason, among others, why the apostle wrote chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. In that chapter, he took the notion that the dead do not rise, applied it to Jesus, and ran through the argument, which brings up some rather serious implications. What would it mean for us if Christ is not risen? Here's what Paul said in verses 12 and following. "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." Now, good thing for us, Paul kept writing the next verse. "But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." That section of verses, both the negative and the positive, lays it all on the line. Your status with God, now and forever, hangs in the balance. The balance being whether Christ is risen or not. It is an either or to the extreme. Either we have great blessing in believing the Christian faith based surely on the foundation of Christ's resurrection, or it's a sad disappointment because he's not risen. Either we have great hope of life after death, or it's a sad delusion. Either it's time well spent or wasted listening to and following that ancient book, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. All of that plus more, one way or the other, hinges on whether or not we have a risen, living Savior. Well, thankfully, Jesus did more than just rise from the dead. He showed himself alive to his followers numerous times and made them absolutely convinced so that they could be the eyewitnesses of this great thing. This is a fact that Paul also brought up in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Christ rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen by, notice quite a list here, Cephas, Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. You can think of the resurrection of Christ as the official signature of God Himself. If you sign your name to a contract, that signature of yours on that piece of paper makes the contract expressed legal and binding. The government and the courts will have to recognize it, stand by it, back it up for you. In the empty tomb of Christ, in the event of His resurrection, God was signing His name to the work of Jesus. Now we could do like Paul did. Let's turn this around and be a bit negative with it. Okay? If Jesus of Nazareth was not what he claimed to be, if somehow he was a fake or a failure, then we should expect a dead person, a corpse, rotting bones still there in that tomb outside of Jerusalem. On the other hand, if he's the real thing, the sure thing, Son of God and Savior of the world, then that grave has to be empty. The resurrection is not only the signature of Jesus himself, but also God the Father co-signing this powerful affidavit from heaven, which is telling us who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and what that means for you and me as real blessings, real expectations, real comfort and joy. Should we expect anything less? If Jesus stands in your place, success is guaranteed. If Jesus takes on our obligation to obey the Heavenly Father, plus all the guilt of our sin and the curse of our death in hell, he's going to prevail. In the resurrection of his Son, God has put his signature on your forgiveness. You are not still in your sins. God has also put his signature on the pledge to raise you from the grave and give you the same glory that Jesus has right now. Let that be your confidence, your certainty, because Christ is risen indeed. Amen. We sing of that confidence in our resurrection of based on Christ's resurrection with hymn 207, stanzas 2 and 4. Stanzas 2 and 4 of 207.